Well, good evening. Let me welcome you here. We appreciate you coming out. Let me just say we're going to start our study. It's getting a little late. And so feel free to get up during our study. And if you want to continue to get desserts and something to drink, we're having a little trouble with the coffee. It's coming out, but it's really light. So I don't know what the problem is. So just let you know that. I think Liz is in there trying to fix it. But anyway, let me welcome you. This is our last night of our marriage study here on Wednesday nights. We'll be having, of course, Thanksgiving next week. And then the next week we'll be meeting down here again. I'm not sure exactly what we'll be studying, but there's a couple of things on my mind we're praying about, but everybody's enjoyed the format down here. So we're going to continue to meet down here for a while at least until Christmas. So we got about four studies prior to Christmas coming, and so I hope you come out on Wednesday night. You'll enjoy it. So let me just mention again, this is the sixth part, actually, of our marriage study. What we're going to do tonight is really a summary. We're going to look at all the different four studies we've done and very briefly look at them and sort of have some conclusions. At the end of that time, any kind of questions you guys might have, we're welcome to come up and or mention any kind of questions you have. My wife will be up here to do all she can to answer all those questions for you. I'll be standing in the background. So let's pray real quick. Lord, we want to come to you this evening and thank you again for this journey we've been on in our studies, in our marriage. We just want to know what your word says. We thank you for your word that does speak to us. You're the one that came up with the idea of marriage, this institution that is so divine and established in the Bible. We recognize again what we've talked about, that this institution that you've designed and developed is under attack in all kinds of ways, because man is really used to bringing the authority that of you and deciding what we believe marriage is as mankind, and that's so wrong. So we want to thank you for your word and how you've spoken clearly and accurately in all that you do. And you've given us a heart to follow you. And so we're grateful for that. So bless our time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me mention as we move from the introductory study, that was why is this study relevant? And it's primarily because of the culture. Because of the fact that marriage itself as an institution is under attack. Man thinks he's smarter than God, knows better than God. And so we talked about that. And then in the second study we did, we talked about the purpose of marriage. Now, the Bible says in Genesis that one of the main purposes of marriage is companionship. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone, so God made a woman as a helpmeet for him. But more than that, we looked at in our study of Romans, the 8th chapter, how marriage itself is designed by God to make us more like Jesus. And that is so important to realize that, because that is really ultimately all things work together for good. We talked about in that passage in the 8th chapter of Romans how the Holy Spirit's interceding for us. And the Father who searches the heart and knows what the Spirit's saying. And so, and therefore, because of that intercession of the Spirit and the Father hearing that, all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. For he whom He foreknew, the Bible says, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so that is the whole ultimate goal, that God's predestined you and I to be made like Jesus. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's praying for us in that whole scenario, and in every area of our lives, whether it's work or life itself in general, the trials we go through, the difficulties, all of that, we believe that God's sovereign over these things, that nothing happens by accident as a Christian, and that all things are working together for good. And therefore, the conclusion is, the logical conclusion is that marriage itself has far more purpose in our lives than simply companionship. And that is, God wants you and I to be like Jesus. We talked about the fact that of all the instruments God will use in our lives, nothing is more powerful and more personal than marriage, as God uses our husband or our wife to help us to be like Jesus. And so that's really the purpose of marriage. And when we have that perspective, when we see that perspective, it changes everything. It makes us look at marriage totally different than just, here's somebody in my life that I've got to do this with or go through life with. It is ultimately God in charge of that individual, and therefore we can look at the challenges. And the second study was the second after the introduction and the purpose of marriage, we looked at the third study, and that was the problems of marriage. And the problems of marriage ultimately are a result of two imperfect people who, in all of our way, if we'd be honest, we're very self-centered. And all of a sudden we're called to be in this marriage relationship and called to bond together and unify with another person who has different opinions, different views, different whatever it may be. And that's a challenge. That's what creates the challenge. And it's because we're not perfect. It's because we have these qualities that are not Christ-like, a lot of the flesh. That's where the issues in marriage and the problems come from. And so we looked in that study on the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And in that fourth chapter, the Lord has provided for us all we need in order to put off the old man, put on the new man, not behave the way we were raised, not behave the way we grew up. We're taught by Jesus to live a different way. And that is that God gives us as a believer the character. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and faith. All these things are God's given us in order to overcome these problems and this self-centeredness. We're to die to ourselves, put on Christ, put off the old ways. And then the whole purpose there in Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 is the practical application of the unity that God wants us to have. So Paul talks about the unity Christ has provided for us. Unity in marriage, unity in life, unity in our families. We talk about spiritual warfare, how all that's designed by Satan to disrupt that unity. And so the point I'm trying to make again, the problems of marriage is these two self-centered people coming together, and all of a sudden, I've got to adapt my relationship, my life, to my wife. It's not my way or the highway. It is me dying to myself and adjusting myself, my life, for the sake of my wife, and the same thing, her adjusting her life in order to meet the needs that God's called her to meet in my life. So we die to ourselves in order to accomplish this. That's the way that God's given us. We're told in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, give no place to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold. And we give the devil a foothold all the time in our marriages by having unresolved conflict. We have bitterness. We have resentment. We have this self-centered pride comes up, and we only by pride comes contention. All that is a part of the problems that come in marriage. So we have to ultimately be willing to change. When we talk about the problems of marriage, we've got to realize that I am not like Christ. And God's goal in my life from the first study, once the introduction was over with, was to make me like Christ. Therefore, I've got to be willing to change. And that is to see my wife in my life as the main instrument God's going to use to help me to be different than I am. So when there are conflict or there are differences, there are tension in the marriage, then I've got to realize, all right, what is God doing? What is God saying? And that is why I've got to be willing to change and realize that God's working through my wife. It's far bigger than just marriage. God's working on me as a Christian to make me like Christ. And then we talked about these intruders in the study of the problems of marriage, these intruders. We talked about people sometimes that come and give wrong or ungodly counsel. Friends that we have a wrong relationship with, and all of a sudden we're bonding to a friend rather than our husband or wife. The Bible says a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife. So there has to be that leaving before there can be that cleaving with our wife. And so that's very important. We talked about the intruder of bitterness. How bitterness, that giving a place to the devil, that happens so often in marriages where there's bitterness. These things build up over a period of time, and all of a sudden, after a period of time, people can't take it anymore. And that's wrong. That's giving the devil these intruders of bitterness. Matter of fact, in our study of Matthew, this 18th chapter, we started last Sunday morning looking at offenses, outside people that try to encourage us to turn from Christ. This coming Sunday, we'll look at internal offenses of our own flesh. And then we'll look at if anybody offend me, or if there's unresolved conflict or bitterness, unforgiveness. That whole 18 chapters about offenses. And so we've got to keep these intruders out. And then we talked about the intrusion of the past. When we allow the past to intrude into our current situation. So often people use the excuse of their past to justify their behavior. Well, I was raised like this. Or sometimes past conflict. And we use the past as a weapon to attack somebody else and bring up all these things that have happened in the past. And so we've got to keep out these intruders. And then in the fourth study, we looked at the protection of marriage. And when we talked about protection of marriage, I reminded you of your wedding vows, how you made vows before the Lord. And ultimately, your vow is, and again, your wedding itself is a covenant relationship. God has related to us through covenant. That's what a new covenant, New Testament is. It's a new covenant that God established through the blood of Christ to deal with us. So marriage itself is a covenant relationship. We make vows to one another. We stand before God and witnesses. And I remind you of the general traditional vows that you made, you know, through sickness and health, through better for worse, you know, till death do us part. And we talked about that whole vow and that protection. And how in that protection of marriage, it protects us from sexual immorality. We talked about the physical relationships, how a lot of the problems we have are natural desires out of balance. And so God's designed marriage to provide a holy way to satisfy personal needs. Again, sex is very important and very a strong need in every person, generally speaking. But my point in all that is God's given us a holy way to satisfy those needs, not an unholy way. And he talks about the marriage bed is undefiled, and it's sanctified by God himself. And we talked about that. And then we also provide the protection of accountability. Marriage is a protection. The protection of marriage, there's a built-in accountability factor. Then I'm accountable to my wife. My wife's accountable to me. No one knows me better than she does. No one knows my weaknesses or whatever. We have a relationship. We talk to one another. We have a freedom to bring up issues or things in each other's life. If my spiritual life begins to go downhill, if my spiritual passion goes downhill, or if I stop reading my Bible or praying, my wife notices that. And so that accountability is very, very important. We talked about the protection of that and all that, the accountability. Everyone needs accountability. And so if we don't have accountability, that's one of the problems in our culture. You know, there's no accountability and people do whatever they want to. It goes back to the book of Judges. There was no king in Israel and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. So accountability is very important. And then we talked about, regarding the protections of marriage, about the provision when we're in need, physical provision. People are sick or people are in physical needs. How marriage itself and the family is a protection. It is a provision. We talked about the challenges of emotional turmoil and how when you and I are going through tremendous trials and difficulties, the marriage and the home and the family is to be a place of healing and restoration. We talked about financial wisdom. We need to know, we need to talk to each other and hold each other accountable with that. So it's protection. And I mentioned before, in my life, in every major to final decision we've ever made, I've always asked my wife what she thinks. And so oftentimes in a marriage relationship, especially with a husband, he looks at himself as the God intended is to be the head of the family, and yet he thinks that means he can do whatever he wants to. That is not what the Bible teaches at all. And so there's an accountability and that protection. You know how often over the years I've heard a couple come with counseling and there's been financial disaster and the wife is saying, well, I knew there was going to be a problem, and he wouldn't listen to me because he thinks he knows everything. He's going to do his own thing. And so that is inevitable. It's destruction. So there's that protection in marriage relationship. And so we mentioned that. And then we talked about the power of marriage in our previous study, the power of marriage itself. We talked about the picture of Christ in the church. How literally when someone comes into your home, they should see a picture of Christ in the church. We talk about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven when we say the Lord's Prayer. And that is what marriage should be. It should be an establishment of the kingdom of God in a physical place that is the home where the husband is a picture of Christ and the wife is a picture of the church. And when people come into that family, in that home, there is just a powerful testimony of Christ in the church. As Paul is teaching there in the fifth chapter about marriage, he ends up saying, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So this whole mystery of a marriage relationship is about Christ and the church. What was he saying? It's more than just a marriage. It's far more than that. It's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus, ultimately. And so we talked about the power of that picture. And then we talked about how Christian marriage, being in a marriage as a believer's, is a proclamation to the world that we reject the world's idea of marriage. We reject redefining marriage. We reject man deciding what a marriage is or isn't. We reject all that. We believe the Word of God to be the Word of God. And there's an authority far greater than any individual. So when you and I are living as a Christian couple, a Christian individual in marriage, we are it's a powerful declaration, even without saying anything. Not that we shouldn't say anything, but it is a visual proclamation and a powerful picture that we as believers are following the Lord. We go to a different drumbeat. We're following the King of Heaven who's established marriage. And no one has the right to tell him what to do or to change his law. And we talked about that in our introductory study. So it's a powerful picture. We talked about the power of alignment. And what we mean by that is when you and I are lining up, and that's the whole purpose of the Bible. God wants us to line up under Scripture, to bring our lives, to bring our minds, our thoughts, our marriages, our families under the authority of the Word. When we're lining up, we talked about the power of, we talked about just When things are in synchronization, there's a power to it. I use the illustration of the guy that came into our house to fix an appliance, and we had had a burner on the stove that wasn't working. We would turn it on and we'd hear a click, but it never fired up. And he said the gas, whatever the gas was coming out and the clicker were not lined up. And once you lined it up, it took him a second to fix it. And the same way in a marriage, when our marriages line up under the Bible and the teaching of the Word, there's a supernatural power to it that happens in people's lives. And that power transcends more than just the marriage itself into individual lives. So that myself, as our marriage is lined up, Don and I's marriage, it makes me more effective in everything else I do. When I am out of alignment, if our marriage is not correct, then it is a emotional drain. It is a spiritual drain. It affects everything that I do in my life. And so that makes it more difficult and challenging to minister or to serve or to do other things. You know, the Bible talks about, for instance, is it an elder that if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how should I take care of the church of God? Meaning if your house is out of balance and out of alignment, you certainly can't take care of the church of God. But if your house is in alignment, that's one of the qualifications. We talked about the power of alignment. And then, of course, we talked about the power of a godly home regarding safety. And ultimately what it is we talked about the fact that in the world we'll have tribulation. That you can go out there in the world and your jobs and all that you do and you can get beat up and chewed on and criticized and rejected. But when you come home, and there's a power to that marriage and that family that is healing and restorative. And there's a power to that marriage. There's a power to a godly marriage. There's, again, something about that. The kingdom of God is established. And it's like being with the Lord. You know, when you're with the Lord. You know how, and I mentioned this from the pulpit many times. There's times I've woke up at night with something on my heart or burdened or I can't sleep. You know how many times I've just headed down to my study downstairs and I prayed and talked to God and the Spirit of God will come and He'll fill my study down there and He'll speak to me and all of a sudden there's this peace. Because the Lord has come. But that's the way our home should be. Where whatever I get beat up in the world when I come home and I'm accepted, I'm loved, I'm encouraged, I'm prayed for, I'm listened to. It's very, very important that there's a power to that. There's a healing power. And then we talked about the power of influence. We talked about imprinting. And what I mean by imprinting is that when many of us, as we grew up, we did not see a godly home. And the challenge of that is once we got out on our own, we did not know what a godly home looked like. We did not know how, as a godly man or a husband, a Christian, how should I respond to my wife? How should we handle conflict? How should I deal with problems? How should I deal with things outside in the world? But in a godly home, there's a power that we have that we're imprinting. So what's happening is many of us not raised in a godly home have broken through that and it's been a challenge. But when a person grows up in a godly home, when a person sees that a godly home, the kingdom of God established, it's much easier for that person to follow in that parent's steps. So there's a power to that. There's a power that there's an imprinting factor that you're imprinting on your children. What a Christian couple does when there's conflict. What a Christian does when there's sickness. Or in our case with our son, when a tragedy happens, how do we respond? What do we do? How do we respond together? What is our relationship like? How do we handle that? And it doesn't guarantee our kids are going to follow our example, but it gives them a head start. Because they have a natural tendency just to want to train up a child in the way that he goes, and when that gets old, they won't depart from it. And so that the power of that imprinting. And so let me just conclude with this, because those are the studies we did. Okay, we looked at the purpose of marriage, we looked at the problems of marriage, we looked at the protection of marriage, and then the power of marriage. Those four main studies with an introduction. Okay, and this the conclusion is God designed marriage. So no matter what anybody tells you, God is the one in charge. We have to go back to the instruction manual to find out what we're supposed to do. And the Bible says that God's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. He's given me the Holy Spirit. He's given me His Word. He's there to help me. When I don't know what to do, when I have problems, when I don't know how to resolve conflict, I go to talk to Him about it. I can look at the Word. We talked about that. So God designed marriage. The Bible contains everything we need. I've got to remember that. And it gets back to, again, in your homes. What is your life like? I don't know sometimes what your life is like. I hope that you spend time in the Word. I hope you spend time in prayer. I hope that's a part of your everyday life because it is so vital in everything else. It's the foundation. It's the rocks that we build and the foundation, laying the foundation for our marriages is time with Jesus, time in the Word, understanding why I do what I do. Why do I get up in the morning and spend time with the Lord? Because I believe what David said in Psalms, thy word is more necessary than my daily food. I believe that. And so there are times that we do without food in order to do this. That's very important. So the Bible contains that. And of course, I want to mention that marriage itself is the basis of stability in culture. The Bible says I think it's Proverbs, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations are undermined, when marriage itself is being destroyed like it is, what can the righteous do? It's very difficult. And then, of course, the resulting problems are absolute catastrophic. Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in destruction. And when you leave God's word and you do what you think's right, it just ends up in absolute disaster. So we've got to remember that in my life, in our cultural family, the foundation, what a child needs more than anything else, more than personal love and acceptance and all that, what they need more than anything else is a strong marriage relationship with your mom and dad. That's the number one thing in a child's life. So we want to provide that for them. And then I want to mention too that in the marriage relationship, and I'll close with this and ask Donna to come up, but it is the most wonderful, you know, relationship. It could be the most nightmare of any relationship at all. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's a hell on earth, or it's a heaven on earth, one of the two. And it all depends on the response of this book and the scriptures and the Holy Spirit's presence and how we make decisions. And so it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful relationship. It's the family unit, the family structure. It is a joy. It is an exciting thing. It provides. You know, we have a grandchild on the way. What an exciting time that is for us. And as a family and and in the culture of our family, we're so excited as a family. You know, to be able to rally around my daughter and her husband and encourage them and to be there for them and pray for them and, you know, serve them and do all we can to help in any way we can. And we don't want to meddle. Okay. We don't want to spoil Aria too much. Her name's Aria, you know. And so we don't want to, you know, me and they do a little spoiling, but I don't know. It's just a fun relationship. So we're very excited about that. So I want to encourage you in your marriages, in your homes, not only to hear about our study, but to pass that along and to tell others about marriage and what God's Word says about marriage. So people are looking for answers. I'm very confused. So, Donnie, you want to come up?
I just want to say I have really enjoyed the study. I get blessed because he's encouraging us in a way that we need to walk. As a little girl, growing up, getting married, and having children. That's just what I always dreamed of. And I can honestly say with him that it truly has been heaven on earth. It really has. And I'm very, very grateful that God chose me to be your wife. And it's a big responsibility in a church, you know, to be married to the head, but I wouldn't want it any other way. Saying all that, how great it is, it's also the hardest thing. It is the hardest thing, being married. No, for all of us. It is hard. And, you know, I'm realizing more and more why it's so hard. Because marriage calls us to die to self. That is what marriage is about. And that's, you know, he's carried us through all the different reasons why. I mean, we're to become like Christ. But as we've gone through this study this time, you know, I've really been thinking about that and really just crying out to the Lord. You know, I really want to be what you've called me to be. I want to die to self. You know, I want to be who you've called me to be. And, you know, and what the reality is, we're all stiff-necked. We all are stiff-necked, and we think we're right, and I've told y'all that about that being my problem. Well, he just showed me this week that that's really one of the worst things of all, when you think you're right. Because when you're always thinking you're right, how prideful that is, just to have even just have that attitude. And so it's a very humbling thing, but it's a very good thing. I read this in the book, The Calvary Road, and it said, you know, the I, the just the letter I, stiff-necked, and it's straight and tall. But the word Christ is bent, you know, and that's what we're to do. We're to bend like a C. A C is an I that's bent. And we're to bend and, you know, it's not my way. You know how it's someone who's broken says, it's my fault. Someone who's stiff-necked says, it's your fault. And whenever there's a difference between us, hey, isn't that what we're always saying? It's your fault. You know, if you just straighten up, we wouldn't be having this problem. Rather than, Lord, show me what I'm doing wrong. You know, maybe what they did was wrong, but the way I respond can be even worse. You know, my attitude towards whenever my toes get stepped on, how do I act? How do I respond? And so this is exhortation to the husbands as well as the wives. You know, the Lord is looking at the way you respond when your wife forgets to shut the cabinet door for the 10th time. You know, because I have a lot of things about me. You know, and let me just say this about Mark. You probably have figured this out. But he is he's a verbal guy. You know, God is, that's who he is. He's very verbal. And, you know, they have all the different love languages. Well, his is definitely verbal. And so it's a good thing because he tells me he loves me every single day. And it's just the sweetest thing because he's a verbal, a very, very verbal thing. But like today, he says this probably 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. He'll say, you're just the greatest there ever was. I mean, that's just the way he does. He says, you're just great. And, you know, and I have to say, I am not. I am not. You know, if I was great. But anyway.
She is.
No. But I don't know where I was going with that. Other than...
Lovely.
Well, because if I was so great, why don't you get irritated with me? That was it. Because he'll get irritated with me. You know, I'll do things. And so anyway, but just I'm learning that whenever, you know, he corrects me about something or whatever, just bend and listen. Just listen and be humble. I'm not saying, you know, it's like just be humble. And so I guess if I had to want to communicate something to you all, not just to the women, but that would be it, is to just to cry out to the Lord to show you how to bend and how to be humble with one another. And whenever they do, you know, Mark is great, but he's not perfect. And I think that's what we do. We start expecting our husbands to be a certain way, and you expect your wives to be a certain way. But when they're not, you know, how do you respond? We become like Christ. That's what it's all about, is becoming like him. So.
All right. What happens when you are right?
When I'm right?
Yeah, well, you said don't say you're right. But what if you are?
Well.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, that is true. I mean, because that's what you do. You just pray for that other person. You pray for them. Because, yeah, they're blind. You know, we all are blind, not just you. But we're all blind. But we need to pray.
See, I'll tell you, she's perfect. She really is.
No,
if there's
not.
Ever issues, it's always me.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, marriage is great. Yeah.
Any questions you guys have or whatever, we just want to be open and honest with you guys if we can. And... Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no. I think that is a wrong thing. And I do believe in the church, women have been browbeated and thought, oh, well, I can't say anything. You know, it's like, be quiet, be submissive. But that's wrong because, you know, he may be the head, but we're the heart. And if the heart doesn't speak up, how does the head know? And so women that just what they do is they stuff it. And they stuff and they stuff and they stuff. And then that ends up in a totally different, you know, explosion later because of bitterness that builds up. And so that is, we are to learn in quietness and submission, but that doesn't mean to never speak. It's a spirit about you. You know, I don't come in there demanding. You know, that's not quiet at all when you come in demanding. But I just feel like... it's the way you do it. And I think that is part of the two becoming one, is that you speak into one another's lives. When I see, you know, if he's done something wrong, he's hurt my feelings, or he's maybe handled something wrong with the children or the church, or, you know, on and on and on. You know, I come to him and I just say, actually, that happened this week. I says, you know, let's talk. And he says, so you're going to be telling me my faults, is the way he started it out. And it was like, no. You know, but it did open up conversation. But it's so important about the way he corrects me and the way I correct him, because he doesn't do it right either. Because he can come across very prophetic, because that's who he is. And we can use our tendencies as an excuse to sin. Flesh. You just think, well, that's just the way I am, tough. You know, that is the lack of humility, by just saying, well, that's just the way I am. No, it's sin. And you call it sin. When you've sinned, you just say, you know, I was wrong. Please forgive me. You know, that might be a tendency, but that doesn't excuse it. You know, I'm very forgetful. And sometimes he will say, you know, you're just not respecting me. And it's just like, no, I really forgot. I didn't mean to. But then to look back and think, well, you know, if the king of the universe had told me to do something, buddy, I'd be listening. You know what I'm saying? So I sit there and I start thinking, well, maybe I'm not listening, you know, whenever I appear like I'm ignoring what he said. But anyway.
Good. Yeah, so you are to speak up. So.
Yes,
but in a godly way. That's right. Mm-hmm. So, any other questions? Yes.
It makes me think of Sarah and Abraham when Hagar and Sarah were having issues, and Sarah basically told Abraham, get her out of here. She basically was telling him, you know, in what we might think is not as submissive or respectful way, but what was God's answer was listening to your wife.
That's right. That's right. We get in a lot of trouble as men when we don't listen to our wives. Seriously. Because we talked about that in our initial study, the help me. God's called her to help. So if I see her as a valuable help to help me to make decisions, to help me in every area of my life, then I'm going to be valuing what she has to say. It's very important. Any other questions or comments?
We had an issue with that just yesterday. Our son-in-law called, and I thought Mark gave him the best advice. He just said, you know what, Pank, he said, your number one responsibility is to your wife, because there was something going on in the home, and he was not sure what to do about it. And he says, you've got to protect her. So if there's an issue, you always choose your wife over another person. And, you know, sometimes it's confusing. It's very confusing what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Always first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this journey we've had as couples, individual singles, in our marriages and our homes, and just the study of the Bible, what your word says. And I pray whether we are married ourselves or whether we're counseling other people, we just want to understand what the word says and to be able to give godly counsel. And we just want to pray your blessing on our marriages and our homes and our families. Father, I know there's a lot of things that maybe we have gone through as couples or as individuals that have affected us, but we want to pray that the Word and the Spirit of God would continue to affect us in a positive way and transform us to glory to glory. We want to be the way Jesus wants us to be. And I want to pray that you'd bless our marriages and our homes and our children and our grandchildren. We want to pray in this world that has just gone haywire, and just continue to speak the truth and to live the truth and to proclaim the truth to our family, to our children, to our neighbors, to our friends, to the people we're around as we live our lives as believers and followers of Jesus. We want to thank you for the Holy Spirit and your word. We want to thank you that you're the one that designed marriage. And whenever we're in trouble, whenever there's a need in our lives, in our marriages, we can go to you and we can ask for your counsel. We can study the word. We can look into the scripture. We can go to godly people and ask for help. And we just thank you for the way that you do that. So we want to pray that you would help us to build strong homes, strong families, strong church based upon your word, that you might be glorified and honored. And as we line up under the word as individuals and as couples, that there would be a power to that that would transcend just the normal effect that a couple would have on others. There'll be a supernatural element to it as the Lord comes. And but that threefold cord, that third individual in the marriage would come and rule and reign over us, and that all of us would be submitted to him and under him. As the Bible says regarding marriage, we're to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And then it talks about how we're to submit. And I want to thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Dan.
I've been here 12 years, and I don't know how many marriage things we've done since we've gone up to Chick-fil-A place and